Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Connie Going, and I'm a consultant with Adoption Associates. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates was established in 1990, and they have placed over 5,000 children. They are located in Michigan, with offices in Lansing, Jenison, Farmington Hills, and Northern Michigan. Adoption Associates is a Christian organization founded with Christian beliefs and values, where they provide pregnancy and adoptions and services to clients of all faiths. AAI is trusted and tested, and they are leaders in domestic and international adoptions. Adoption is their specialty and their passion. They are committed to help each family on every step of their adoption journey. They are also utilizing the most updated and cutting technology to support their birth parents and adoptive parents. I want to talk just a little bit about our event that is coming up on Saturday, November 21st at 6 p.m. It is called Uniting Hearts and Creating Family. They are celebrating their 25th anniversary, and it is going to be held at the Frederick Meyer Gardens and Sculpture Park. And we are just excited. If anyone would like to learn more about that event, they can go on to our website at www.adoptionassociates.net, or they can call 1-800-677-2367. Today, and I'm waiting for her to come on the line, we are very excited to have Carrie Burrows. Carrie Burrows is an adoptive family consultant, and she is also part of the Adoption Family Support Network. So we're very excited to have her. I don't see her on the line, so I'm going to just send her a quick message and see where she is. I'm asking her to call in. And for those of you who don't know, we do this show every Friday. We are so excited to have her. Now, I am actually in Florida. So I am up. I see her. She's calling in right now. So let me see if I can get her on the line. Carrie, are you there?
I am.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you here.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I just love this radio show because we're two different places of the United States. And I will tell you, in Florida, I tell everybody this every week, our weather. It's raining here. How is it in Michigan today?
It's really hot and sunny.
Oh, beautiful. And I'm sure it's not in the 90s like it is here.
I think it's about 80, so we're getting there.
Oh, wow. Well, let me tell, I told them a little bit about who you are, but I really want to hear a little bit about your adoptive journey and also some of your work at the Adoption Family Support Network.
Okay.
So let's start with, as an adoptive parent, where did you start your journey?
Yes. Okay. So my husband and I had four children that were ranging in age between 6 and 11. And one day he came home from work and I had something I wanted to talk to him about. And essentially we had the same topic in mind, like enlarge our family by adopting through foster care. So we were kind of just both really excited to share what we had stumbled upon and why it had really impressed our hearts. And so we began the journey to really, you know, locate an agency to begin our foster care. Our hearts were for adoption, but we really felt that we were called to do it via the means of foster care. So, you know, I started calling around, and we went through the processes of getting our license done, and it was pretty quick. I think we started in May of 2002, and we had our first placement in August of 2002. So it was a pretty quick process for us. And then I'll just kind of nutshell the rest because there are a lot of details in the rest. But basically, between May of 2002 and really September of 2009, 7 years, we've teen children. And adopted pretty much everybody who didn't get reunified with their parents. So we ended up adopting five. So we went from 4 children to 9 children. We kind of set out to do maybe 1 or 2 children, but it just didn't happen that way.
It's amazing how things are put on your heart, and then all of a sudden you go from a family of 4 to a family of 9. And what are the current ages of your children now?
Yes, our children are 8 to 25.
8 to 25 years
so,
old.
So, yeah, it's kind of 2 families. We have, you know, we have the olders and we have the youngers.
So you are busy.
We
now,
are.
Now tell me, obviously you are so passionate about adoptive family support, and that's one of my passions also. And one of the things that I believe is that no matter how you come to adoption, and it can be through foster care, it could be international, or it could be domestic, that when you need support after, it's really important to be able to find that support.
Oh, I agree with that so much. That is just that is so true. Everybody doesn't realize that initially, but it is very true.
Well, and I know, and I run support groups down in Florida for adoptive support, but one of the things that I know is that I have both families who have adopted in every single arena. And, you know, no challenge or no nothing is too small to bring to the table and make a connection with another family.
Yeah,
tell me,
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about what Adoptive Family Support Network is.
Sure. So essentially, Adoptive Family Support Network was founded in 1991, and it was actually founded in our family courts. Somebody there saw a need for families to get support post-adoptively. And so they basically put in a phone line on somebody's desk, and it was called the Warm Line. And it was essentially just a safe place, non-agency affiliated, because they did some research, I guess, and what they were able to discover is that a lot of people weren't willing to go back to their agencies. They were afraid of being judged. They were afraid of being turned into CPS. They were afraid of Children's Protective Services, I'm sorry. And, you know, there were a lot of different things. You know, there was just some general kind of feeling bad about themselves that they were actually having a struggle. You know, there's this huge range of emotions. You know, you go from waiting for a child to having a child, and now how in the world could we possibly be struggling with this said child? You know, so there's a lot that was put into place in making the decision to make it, you know, just a general place where people could go as opposed to being affiliated with one particular agency. And it did well. And over the years, it has gone from that little tiny desk with one phone on it to, you know, having office space, and it's kind of come up and down. Being a nonprofit, it's had its ups and downs. But about 5 years ago, the state of Michigan, adoption support for the state, and they decided to do a pilot program with Kent County, and that's how we, you know, we put the bid on and we won, and et cetera, et cetera. So we basically had 3 years to establish, you know, what could we do. Our model was different than a lot of models. The main difference is that we're parents supporting parents. So it's not necessarily a degreed position as opposed to, you know, degreed by living the life, so to speak. And so we call it the P2P, parent-to-parent support. And it has been just amazing to watch it just take off really like a wildfire, because parents connecting to other parents who are in the same trenches as them is just this camaraderie. This whole community has been built. And so we've been doing this for 5 years now, just closing in on 5 years. And it's been granted to us as of last year to actually take it statewide. So it's been really, really
terrific.
A lot of work, but it's been really fun to connect with different people, and just, it's been amazing.
That's wonderful. What do you see families reaching out for after adoption?
Okay, that's a good question. I think a lot of our initial work was desperate people. So people that were like, I don't know what else to do. I don't know how much longer I can handle these behaviors. I don't know how much longer I'm going to remain sane. You know, so there were a lot of desperate phone calls, people that needed therapists, the people that needed maybe a respite provider, people that wanted, you know, maybe the child to go somewhere for a while to give them a break and time to regroup. So we saw a lot of desperate things in the beginning. But then, you know, we really intentionally tried to set our sights on focusing on people almost as quickly as we could post-adoptively, because we figured if you can connect with people while things are going well, and we do a lot of family fun events. We have memberships to a lot of, like, children's museums and all kinds of different botanical gardens and zoos and stuff like that. So we connect with people on a fun level where relationships are built between us and other adoptive parents. And then, you know, if something down the road goes kind of bad or becomes more challenging, people have seemed to be more inclined to reach out to somebody that they've already established a relationship with. So that's kind of, I think, the next phase of it, is we really started just connecting people to people and then watching all of that blossom.
That is very exciting.
Yeah, respite is probably the biggest thing. Behavior problems and respite care, people really needing, you know, and then just really a general sense of wanting to connect to a bigger world of adoption, you know. I think those are our most common.
Mm-hmm. I would agree, and I find that the need is greater than people ever realize. And I think that, you know, looking at children that are adopted through foster care, you have identified loss and trauma. Looking at children that are adopted through international, you definitely have loss. You definitely have trauma there. And even domestically, I think, as simple as we'd like to say that it is this amazing, wonderful, and it is an amazing, wonderful journey, you can also have some challenges. One of the things that I see with domestic families that are connecting are transracial issues, adoption issues, attachment is really important. Sometimes your children... you can have a special needs child down the road. And genetics play a role in who our children become, period.
For sure.
And so looking at that, there are common threads. And, you know, I think that the more educated our adoptive parents are, even birth parents that are placing their children, they like to think there will never be a problem, but to know that parents can handle any challenge that arises, that comes, that it's really important. Now, do you have actual support groups within the state?
We do. We do. Our website is affsn.org, and we have several different groups that meet across the state in person. We also have a Facebook group that is kind of like a now time, you know. You've got a problem at 2 a.m., chances are you post something on that wall. It's a secret group, so you have to come by, like, invite.
Right.
But, yeah, if you post something on that group wall, most likely somebody's going to be up at 2 a.m. even and, you know, help you out. Or at least the biggest thing we see people really needing is just to know, one, that they're not alone. And two, that they're not crazy, that there's somebody else who gets them, who gets their situation, who doesn't stand and judge and say, well, if you would just do A, B, and C, you wouldn't be in this situation. They just need somebody to understand them, listen to them, and have some empathy for what their situation is. And sometimes I feel like I haven't done anything for a family, and later they write me a letter or something, and it's like, I did all that. I didn't hardly say anything. You know, like, it's just really, they just need to be understood.
And listened, and to have somebody listen. In my own adoptive journey, having been a social worker for 30 years in the different areas, and then actually taking, adopting teens from foster care, my family grew as a single mom. But the challenges were that I don't care how many support groups I did before I adopted or how close I thought I knew that my family... what they were feeling. Until I was in those shoes, I didn't know. And I tell that to social workers all the time. And I think, Adoption Associates is their adopted families do stay in touch with them, but I always say, you know, even if you're not judgmental, it is very hard to reach out to your social worker because there is this belief in society that you chose to adopt, therefore you must be superwoman, and nothing can be wrong with you. And so you hold yourself, and you hold yourself even higher than you would for biologically. And what I want to say is that you can reach out, but what Adoption Family Support Network does is it gives you a way to reach out to somebody that is in kind of the same situation that you may be, and there's no dumb questions or feelings.
No, right. That is very accurate.
What
we do have a 24-hour warm line that people can call anytime that we always have staffed. I can say that number if you'd like me to.
I would love for you to say that number.
Okay. So it's 1-855-MISH, like MICH, P2P. P and then the number 2 and then the letter P.
Okay, great. That's awesome.
Yes. Anybody, any type of adoption, any, like you said earlier, anything, big or small. I mean, we're here and it's staffed 24/7, and that's what we do. So
that is just a wonderful, wonderful concept. And I know that you are also involved on a national level at the North American Council of Adoptable Children.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think I met you guys there some years ago because I was reading from. I was like, oh, I think we were at the same one. So
it
to me, it seems like you have, you know, we always look at each state and you say, what are they doing right? Really, the state of Michigan is doing a wonderful job with supporting your group and allowing it to grow and go statewide.
Right, right. And we always have our sights on more, though, right? We're like, okay, well, we've got this county. Now let's get the state. Now let's get America, you know?
Well, but you know, that's okay because, you know, that's how things grow. They go grassroots. We know that as adoptions, depending on the type of adoption that is really strong that year, it's going to be, the need's always going to be there. I always say that for the states who are going through changes, that some things may not be there, but the families and children are always going to be there.
Oh, very true. Yeah.
You know, and I've been really privileged to get to know Adoption Associates and the quality of how they work in open adoption, which I think is a great thing because it allows families who adopt domestically to continue to have that birth-parent relationship, and when they have problems, mm-hmm. they share them as a team.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes in state adoptions, that's a sometimes they're open, but there's usually a lot of problems within the relationship at times, depending on where the birth parents are at, because there's obviously been a reason that they're in foster care.
Right, right. It's a little different sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And so I just want to encourage, you know, families that if they have adopted and no matter what they are experiencing in their home, if they have, you know, attachment challenges or down the road they're having some behavior from trauma, anything that are health issues, any questions they have, to please reach out to Adoption Family Support Network in Michigan.
Yes, we would love that.
What else can you tell me that you just, if you could share with everybody, you would want to share?
Yeah, well, like just a little bit more like on the Adoptive Family Support Network. I mean, we really work hard on another level too, as far as like oftentimes I'll speak to people who are kind of maybe through the thick of things where, you know, my kids are older now. We don't really want to go to the Children's Museum. Like the events that we have maybe are a little bit too young for their kids or, you know, like I said, they're maybe not really struggling anymore. I'm always encouraging people that are in that capacity to come on board in a different way then, to be able to be like a mentor kind of a person for another family who's struggling, to be able to give, you know, some hope to families that, you know, that children can attach and that these things don't last forever and, you know, stuff like that. So we really work hard on, you know, matching parents with each other and really trying to, we strongly believe that everybody has something to give. So you might have a single mom who is dog tired who doesn't have hardly a second to use the bathroom, right? But she still has something to give. And in that giving, you know, she somewhat empowers herself to, it's just this magical thing to watch happen, you know, as all of a sudden you can do something. Because nobody, I mean, for the most part, most people that I've met in life really don't want to be super reliant on other people. Like, we don't want to be in this
right.
place where we're like the broken person that needs everybody's help all the time, you know. Like, it's so awesome to be able to receive help when you need it, but then also to be able to give it back to somebody else. It's really just a cool full circle thing to watch happen, you know. It's, you know, somebody comes to us and they're just so, you know, just so just at the end of their rope, and then to watch them even a year later or something and say, look at you standing in your greatness, you know.
And they're helping somebody else.
Exactly.
And they are helping somebody else. That is exciting to watch.
It is. So that's something else we focus on. You know, we try to do the family fun events. We bring in a lot of different speakers. We love to bring in education, whether it be transracial, whether it be on attachment. We do a lot with like sensory stuff. There's just a lot of things that seem to really, like you were saying, kind of go across the board with all different types of adoption. So a lot happens sometimes, you know, in utero. And so a lot of our kiddos have the same thing, even if, you know, you get them at 2 hours old, you know.
That is so
we do a lot of education.
True.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then like we talked about the support online, in person, whatever, either or. And, you know, just really try to always be listening to our families. We send out surveys every 3 months to try to figure out from them, what do you need? What do you need in your area? Because we've really realized as we've gone statewide this past year that northern Michigan's needs are different than Detroit's needs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we want to serve them where they're at and come alongside and see, you know, what can we take off of your plate? What can we do to help you advocate? We do a lot of work in schools, helping, you know, with special education plans and things like that.
So you advocate with the family.
Yes, and then really, really our goal is always to teach them to advocate. So we had something really exciting we just did this past June. We kind of sort of hand-selected approximately 50 people across the state of Michigan who were, like, kind of exhibiting leadership skills as far as in this realm of adoption.
Uh-huh.
And so we sent out several invites. We sent out and, you know, we were able to fill all 50 spots. We basically paid for their lodging, their meals, and then we provided the training over 3 days and really just empowering them to go back to their part of the state and form, you know, like kind of like grassroots groups. Like, we'll support them and we'll provide materials and do whatever we can, you know, at our end, but just to kind of multiply this whole effect as, you know, there's certain numbers of us that, the theory of multiplication, right?
Yeah.
So that's been very exciting. We have a whole another like layer now, like we have all of the staff, there are about like 14 of us, but then now we have these other 50 people, and we plan to do this annually and just continue to spread, you know, good people, I guess. Yeah.
So you brought them together
really
and you trained them so that they could go back to their communities and begin the support group model.
Yes, exactly. And then we're actually, you know, providing at least some funding each month for them to be able to hold support groups, whether they have to rent a facility or whether they want books for their group to do like a curriculum or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're not like on their own completely, but they are volunteers. So it's been amazing to me to see the passion and the heart. For people to come forward to want to just do this and just be so passionate about it and not get a paycheck, you know. It's too cool.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the thing about adoption is once it touches you in any way, as a social worker, as a adoptive parent, as a foster parent, however it touches you, it changes your life forever. And
mm-hmm. It does.
For many of us, it becomes your vocation. And I always say I don't have a job. I just kind of live and breathe it. And it's who you are. And somebody said yesterday, you're just so passionate. We need to follow that. And I said, well, but you know, it's because it is who you are.
Yeah.
It's not a job.
And I agree.
I that's the one thing we have, and I love the word common threads, because what I see is that it does not matter whom I'm speaking to, where I'm speaking to them about adoption. no matter what part of the triad they are, no matter where they're at in the process, there are common threads. And when we when we look at those, we connect and we help each other. And
That's right.
I just think that I think that Adopt a Family Support Network, you're doing something really incredible and really right.
Oh, thank you. So work in progress. When we started 5 years ago, we said we're going to build it as we fly it. So, you know, it's on the way and it's still not done, right?
Well, we will definitely, Adoption Advocates will definitely, you know, any trainings that you're having, that you know that they are in all across the state. So we'll share Facebook. So because they're in Lansing, Jenison, Farmington Hills, and Northern Michigan. And so their families, and they've done over 5,000 adoptions.
Wow.
Placements since they started 25 years ago. So it really is, I mean, those are the families that are out there, and I believe that, you know, letting families know about training, about support groups, activities, would love to see them. It's just having the knowledge of being able to connect when you need to connect.
That's right.
So, well, Carrie, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I know that we'll be in touch long after this. And
all right.
Thank you for giving time on your Friday. And for everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. And this will be archived on our, you can get to it through our Facebook, but you can come, if you missed this one or missed any of the others, you can come and listen to them. But thank you so much, Carrie. We appreciate you being here. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you for having me. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.